Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wines, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Once again, we have an action-packed show for you today. Going to catch you up on the latest and greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, last weekend, the NASCAR season officially ended for 2025. We'll have the story about how the Cup Series finished out. We'll also talk about a couple big car events coming up here in the next couple weeks. Dino's Get Down, and of course, we've got the Good Guys Show coming up as well. We've got an article about Apex, which is this very cool racetrack country club that here is in south of Metro Phoenix and what's going on down there. Of course, we'll talk about what's going on with gas prices. And of course, it wouldn't be the car show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on the car show. Pages of the Business Journal. This one's called Life in the Fast Lane. It was the cover story. And it says, the fast and luxurious. Take a trek to a prestigious motor club with a $70,000 initiation fee where racing enthusiasts live, drive, and play. Well, the sun beat a mirage into the bend ahead. Quote, I'm no driver, said Bill Barra, relying on the thrill of a financier's eye as he pumps the gas through the straightaway of the Apex Motor Club's pristine track in Maricopa on tour early in October, with a reporter and a photographer in tow. The blue and white checkered curbs blur with speed, catching the reflection from the desert as he purrs the engine of his Lexus F Sport. It turns into growls. Well, the ray bounces from Barber's glasses as he brushes the pointer toward the cactus-dotted landscape, painting visions of the final form of an automotive oasis in the Sonoran Desert. Apex is a country club for racing enthusiasts. It offers members driving sessions on the tracks, regardless of their skill level, along with training and racing series, allowing motorists to test their own competitive mettle. As soon it will be a place to live as well. There are now mounds of dirt on the northwest corner of the 263-acre campus. There will be 50 villas overlooking the 4.7 miles of black asphalt that make up two professionally made race courses. Maricopa City Council on September 16th approved a rezoning to allow this. Now back in the Lexus, the track semicircles into an S-curve. He catches the inside of the curb between the two curves, rattling the vehicle. Told you, not much of a driver, he said, with a grin. Now, although there are other luxury racing clubs and residents, none within bird's eye of the front row of this racetrack. Apex Chief Financial Officer said, over the last 300 days, we've got great weather for racing almost on a daily basis. Now, neither Barbara or the Apex CEO, Chad Myers, know exactly what the villas will look like. The club said they would put a few units on spec or sell a block to a developer, but some, well, they might be just customized by their own owners. A lot of these will be bought, not leased, and they'll be ready for construction late next year once we get all the permitting done with the city. Myers imagines some of the garages will be fit for supercars, topped by living spaces fit with bedrooms and an overlook, but their beauty will be in the eye of the builder. How much will they cost? Well, that's a tough one to answer, he said. Knowing some of these villas could reach, well, potentially eight figures in their construction costs. Apex is an ultra-exclusive motor club country club. A gold-tier membership, which is the cheapest, fetches a $70,000 initiation tag, in addition to an reoccurring $8,000 annual fee. That gets you 200 days of access to the track, among other perks. Now, as the car slowly pulls in and off the track, greeted by hums of development, pounding hammers, lumber, bags of concrete stirring near the home-style construction buildings, that's where Symmetry Construction is putting up the next slate of 48 car condos, doubling the existing number. Now, a car condo combines a man/woman cave with a mechanics playground, 1,250 square feet of garage space supporting a 625-foot mezzanine. Apex provides the shell where then the members can design their dream space. Some can run around, well, nearly $750,000. The interiors, well, they're completely custom. Some may favor, well, two-wall condos, tearing down the separate walls to double their space. an executive once said he fitted an all-wood interior, fitted very much like a log cabin. Of other ones, well, they've kind of lined theirs with racing and NASCAR memorabilia. Well, it's also interesting, the condos, car condos like the villas, will be owned, not just leased. Now, it's a common theme for property on the complex. Premium members get exclusive rights to buy a car condo. Gold members have access to the availability. Now, Barbara suggests and gestures toward another fenced-off area adjacent to the future and existing rows of car condos, like an elbow earmarked for a clubhouse. This is where Apex will lean into the identity for the Drivers Country Club. There'll be food, drinks, locker rooms, viewing areas across the 7,000 square foot luxury lounge space. But development could be completed sometime early next year, Meyer said. Beyond the construction sits to the right, there's a thick slab of asphalt which will be lined for two car paddock garages, and some will actually even feature a helipad. You can almost smell the burning rubber from future donuts being done here. Now, in the distance is the vault. It's Apex bulk car storage unit lined floor to ceiling with metal and carbon fiber. Everything from classic muscle cars to F1 style racers with wings on the front. On-site mechanics also are available, and they service and maintain members' vehicles between drives, and it's also in a climate-controlled facility. As we cruise through the facility, the question lingers. There's a lot of sinks, toilets, showers being built on the edge of the desert. Meyer said the club has an agreement with the city of Maricopa to buy its water. However, the piping would run through the Akchin Indian Reservation along State Route 238, which requires an additional permitting process and approval from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Now, Apex has been working with them for a number of years. Meyer said he does not anticipate it will impact the construction and the operation of the new facilities. In the meantime, Apex has been trucking in water and buying it from Maricopa and storing it in above ground tanks. Liquid fill cylinders appear to crest over industrial buildings on the eastern portion of the campus. Now, this is the racing team Flying Lizard Motorsports leases a home base here where they have where they train professional drivers for the Apex tracks. The club also has participation from car makers Lexus and Aston Martin. Lexus offers complimentary cars for employees and members to drive and functions as advertising on wheels. Well, we take a left and he carefully navigates up a dirt hill and navigates down a northern edge of the campus. He parks and leads us up to the northwest crust where the villas will sit so we can take in the view. Although the club is empty, a mirage of compound luxury futures can easily be conjured in vision. Drivers speed around the tangles of black asphalt. A helicopter touches down on the helipad. Flutes of champagne are sipped from car balconies and the roar of pistons and skirts hard and fast left turns and right turns as other drivers come back after a good run. It offers a reminder of anyone can be a race car driver at Apex for the price. So I'm looking at some of these pictures, and this is an incredible facility. I've heard about this. I have never had an opportunity to go out to Apex Motor Club, but it is definitely what we would call a motorsports country club. You have country clubs for golf and tennis, all sorts of different activities. Now, pickleball, and if you are a motorsports enthusiast and a car enthusiast, well, Apex is a very, very cool place to hang out and drive your car. Weekend out at Phoenix Raceway, NASCAR completed their series for the 2025 season, and it was a very, very unique afternoon into the evening, and the headline reads, amid the jubilation, an agony felt across the entire NASCAR garage. Well, the agony of defeat saturated the air on Sunday night at Phoenix Raceway. It battled the tire smoke and cheers from Kyle Larson and Hendrick Motorsports as they celebrated the NASCAR Cup Series championship. It also brought tears to those wearing the Joe Gibbs Racing logos. Both men and women sat shoulder to shoulder each other, staring down and not knowing what to think. It was plain to see on the faces of Denny Hamlin, Chris Gayle, and the family of friends and drivers who now have spent 20 years trying and failing to win a Cup Series championship. And no, it's not the first time a driver and a team have lost a NASCAR race or a championship, but perhaps never before or in recent memory has the disbelief, despondency, and dejection been so widespread and out in the open. An agony of defeat was in the air Sunday night, and it was heavy and obvious, and a story as big, if not bigger, than who won the championship. Anyone in the area could see and feel it in some ways, and there's no way not to be affected by this moment. Denny Hamlin handled the events with more class than others might have shown. The 44-year-old fulfilled all his media obligations on pit row, spent time in the media center, and he answered every question, offering more emotion and quotes that will live on for years to come. Unfortunately, Hamlin, because of the example, the video clip that will be shown to explain how he feels, looks like he's come up again short on sport's biggest stage. Quote, "I really don't have much emotion right now," Hamlin said. "I'm just numb. I'm in shock. And that's about it." Another notable Hamlin quote in the form of, quote, "Gosh, you work so hard, this sport can drive you absolutely crazy because you've got speed, talent, and all the stuff, all the right stuff, but it just doesn't matter." And perhaps the most memorable and attention-grabbing one is when Hamlin said, "In this moment, I never want to see a race car again. My fun meter is pegged." Now, William Byron, who brought out the race-changing caution with four laps to go as Hamlin was in a clear leading position, apologized to Hamlin and the Joe Gibbs Racing driver and said he deserved the championship. Byron is the teammate of the driver who went on to win the championship. There were excellent quotes from Larson about the split of emotions that he felt as the other starring role in Sunday night's finish, being elated for himself and his team, but feeling bad for his rival and his friend. Rick Hendricks, owner of Hendricks Motorsports, was ready to call Joe Gibbs and congratulate him before the final caution. Ryan Blaney, the winner of the race for Team Penske, also acknowledged for the part that he felt bad for Hamlin. Agony, joy, empathy, so many emotions, so many players, so much to digest. Now, Larson is a deserving champion, and he and the number five team should be given their flowers. But in due and in time, after the raw emotions are gone, the feelings for Hamlin will subside. In the meantime, we should just be it should be absolutely no feelings about right or wrong, and the driver of winning and who didn't is likely just, unjust, or just lucky. No one driver of the four who competed in the championship deserved it more than the others. As I argued a week ago, when all four championship drivers were put together for the worthy qualifying fight for the Bill France Cup in Phoenix. No greater turn of unfortunate events for one driver and the team, in this case, Hamlin and Joe Gibbs Racing, to have been handed the trophy and then have it literally ripped away in the final minutes of the race. But in life and in sports, things are often unfair and sometimes downright cruel. Phoenix, however, was cruel to put the fact that they had no dog in the fight, fans, media, other competitors, industry members, in a position to deal with emotions they really didn't expect to rise. And to make matters worse, Sunday night capped off a weekend of disappointment for many in the championship that played across the board. Corey Heim, the most dominant driver in the Craftsman Truck Series this year, won their championship, but needed a late race heroics to do it. On Saturday night, Connor Zilich, the most dominant driver in the Xfinity Series, came up short in his quest, which left a bitter taste about the format. The format didn't rob Hamlin on Sunday. But on a third night of mixed emotions already added to an already sensitive air that was over the weekend. Now, the good news, if there's any, it came on the last day of the season, giving everyone a time to sit with their feelings before moving on. And everyone needs some time right now, because when the day is as heavy as Sunday's was, those emotions don't go away quickly or easily. And it was tough, folks. I was watching the race. And I've become a Denny Hamlin fan over the years. I love his candor. I listen to his podcast. I understand a lot more about the man than I did even up as much as just 2 years ago. His father is battling a terminal disease. He has been trying to win this championship for 20 years. He had a lead with four laps to go, and it looked like finally Denny Hamlin was going to win his championship. William Byron's tire came, blew a tire, sent a caution flag out. They came back in, and the leaders pitted. Hamlin's team decided to take four tires, which requires a longer pit stop. Kyle Larson's team decided to go with just two tires on the right side, which is the tires that wear more on Phoenix Raceway. They came out ahead by about six cars, and with a green-white checker, which means a two-lap shootout to win this race, Denny couldn't make up the ground, and Kyle Larson beat the other three championship competitors. Didn't have to win the race. He finished third in the race, but he became the champion, and the air was heavy, and the air still is somewhat heavy in this situation. So certainly congratulations to Kyle Larson. He drove a great race. His team called a great strategy to take two tires over four, but it doesn't make it any easier not to feel bad for Denny Hamlin, his circumstances, 20 years of trying, coming up once again, just a bit short. The one is down in Sao Paulo, Brazil today, and I'll certainly have those results for you next weekend. They had a sprint race, which is a race that is only 24 laps long, and Lando Norris won that with Kimi Antonelli driving for Mercedes, finishing in second. But the interesting thing was that there are points for the championship that go in the sprint race as well, that Oscar Piastri crashed out of the sprint race, achieving 0 points, and Lando Norris won the race, and I believe got 8 points for that. So Lando Norris's championship run continues to grow in this situation, and so we'll see what happens as the race comes in. Now, qualifications for the true race, and that race will be run today. Lando Norris is qualifying on the pole. Kimi Antonelli will start second, Charles Leclerc third, and then Oscar Piastri will start fourth. The most interesting thing out of this was Max Verstappen, who right now is in third in the championship and has looked like he was going to make a serious charge, qualified in 16th. That's the first qualifying section he didn't get out of, and I don't know that Max has certainly, in the longest time, ever been qualified that low. So be really curious to see what happens. Can he make a run up through the field? But Max Verstappen's qualifying all the way back in 16th position. And I'll have those results for you next weekend. Of the drive, Ford's new dealership design is part hotel lobby, part Apple store. Well, the automotive industry looks to reinvent itself in a world of autonomous mobility, whatever that means. Car makers are likely willing to explore to attract customers into a dealership. Recently, Subaru rolled out plans to go full L.L. Bean. Makes perfect sense for its outdoorsy crowd. Ford, meanwhile, is aiming for something a little bit less lifestyle and a little bit more Silicon Valley. Ford would probably be happy if they likened their design to a certain Apple store design, enjoy your stay rather than right this way to the geniuses or at the genius bar to help you figure your Apple phone out. Well, Ford is reinforcing the notion that their four core principles defining the new retail experience is hospitality first. Now, the showroom design splits between a traditional office, the purchase room space, and what Ford is calling hospitality spaces or open-style conference rooms that can accommodate interactive displays, leisure areas, collaboration spaces. Even dealerships need to have meetings, right? Well, it looks nice, we'll all admit. And I've seen it, this writer has seen it in person, and Ford is officially unveiling its look, what they're calling Ford Signature 2.0. And Ford also has a functional demo, including an oversized refreshment bar. It's called the Experience Center, and that's in Dearborn, which I visited earlier this year. A hotel conference room vibe just is what the note that Ford is aiming for. Ford will open 10 of these new 2.0 stores by the end of 2025 and hopes to bring another 110 stores online by the end of 2026. So Ford going all in on a new design for their retail space, trying to attract a customer that is used to seeing these kind of designs in the places they frequent. Well, a couple of big car events coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks. Certainly next weekend is one of the most famous here in Arizona. It's called Dino's Get Down, and that's GITDOWN. It's going to be out at the Cardinals Stadium and starting on Friday, November 14th with the Custom Truck Show, Chevrolet and GMC trucks only on that day, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday the 15th, it's any General Motors manufactured car and trucks on display from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. So this is a lot of fun. And folks, it's free to go to. You got to love that. So if you want more information, that's Dino, DINOGITDOWN.com. Dino's Get Down, and that's going to be out at Cardinal Stadium next weekend. And I'll talk about in higher level of detail about this event next weekend, but the 28th annual Speedway Motors Southwest Nationals from Good Guys Rod and Custom Association is going to be out at Westworld of Scottsdale, and that's on November 21st through the 23rd. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And right now, if you want some more information, you can go to good-guys.com. And they'll get all the information. But this is one of my favorite events. It's cool hot rods and car events and autocross and stuff, fun stuff to do for the kids. And it's a very reasonable price ticket. So we'll talk more about that next weekend. But mark on your calendars, Good Guys Hot Rod Show. And that's going to be the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd out at Westworld. Gas prices with our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price in the United States is down again to $3.07 a gallon. Now, according to AAA, the average gas price in the state of Arizona hasn't changed much, $3.37 a gallon. Over in New Mexico, $2.83. Colorado, $2.75. Utah, $3.21. Nevada, $3.99. California, gosh, that's actually up slight tick from last week at $4.70 a gallon. If you were in Alaska, you'd only be paying $3.80 a gallon. And what I find interesting is Hawaii's gas is actually cheaper than California. Hawaii's gas right now, average price is $4.47. Now, if you head east to our friends over where the oil is being pulled out of the ground and the refineries are, in Texas right now, average gas price is only $2.61, $2.58 in Oklahoma. So gas prices are definitely cheaper as you move to the east. All right, let's see what's going on around the state of Arizona with our average gas prices. Well, the good news is outside the metro area, gas prices have continued to come down in Arizona. Right now in Sierra Vista at the 76 station on Fry Boulevard, $2.42, so under $2.50 a gallon. That's pretty impressive. Now, if you're available, you have the availability to get on the base and go to the base exchange at Fort Huachuca down in southern Arizona near Sierra Vista, $2.50. The Valero station in Sierra Vista, $2.52, as well as the Speedway and the Fry's. A little closer to Metro Phoenix, in Eloy, the Express Fuels is $2.63, along with the Circle K as well. And then, and here's a town, I apologize, I don't know where this is located, Hereford, Arizona, on U.S. Arizona 92. The Canyon General Store is $2.67. And Tucson sneaks in, the Arco station on Irvington is at $2.67. See what's going on with our gas prices here in Metro Phoenix. Well, gas prices in Metro Phoenix have not come down. $3.19 is the least expensive gas. That's on Sam's Club in Tempe. The Arco station on Grand Avenue in Sun City is at $3.19. The Arco station on West Thunderbird at $3.19. And the Chevron station on 51st Avenue at $3.23. So gas prices in the metro have not come down, certainly as much as they've come down in the regional area. So I would say right now, if you're finding gas, boy, under $3 and probably 40 cents a gallon, it's about the best you're going to get here in Metro Phoenix. Well, we've reached that time. Time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I was going into a small market in a neighborhood recently, and a giant GMC pickup truck parked right in front of the front door. As I walked by, the owner used his remote key fob to lock his door, and a massive horn blew right in my ear. My Honda has a courteous little beep to indicate the door is locked if I push the lock button twice. Why can't a $100,000 pickup truck have a considerate chime to indicate it's locking? How macho does it have to be? And that's from Jeffrey. Well, the good thing is you weren't walking out of the market with a hot coffee when that horn went off, Jeffrey. The truth is that most vehicles nowadays, including $100,000 pickup trucks, do have a different user option for locking feedback. Pretty much everything is adjustable and customizable now that we have computer screens in our cars, and separate switches aren't really required for every option. Now, on most cars I drive, if you drill down into the vehicle settings, there are three or four options for what you want the car to do when you lock it remotely. You can choose no feedback, you can have your lights flash, or you can have an audible signal, usually a tap of the horn or a beep, or you can choose to have lights and audible feedback. Now, the civilized thing to do is to choose lights only. Without disturbing anyone else, it provides you a clear signal that the car is locked, and you can leave it safely parked and go in and get your toupee refitted. Now, I think some folks use the horn feedback as an option because, frankly, they don't know how to change it, or they just get used to it, or maybe they like to walk away and resent having to look back to see if their parking lights are flashing. I really don't know. Now, some of these, well, some people, they change the options, and it's just a matter of convincing the owners to be more courteous and more thoughtful to people who aren't driving, which has been losing positions ever since around the time that, oh, Carl Benz invented the modern automobile. So horns have been traditionally correlated in their decibel outputs to the mass of the vehicle. So in this situation, just be glad that you didn't pass a tugboat parking in front of the market that day when you were startled by the horn. Good luck. Yeah, I can imagine that maybe that's an optional horn that's on that big GMC pickup truck. I know people that actually have air horns very much like a train in their cars or their trucks, and that'll get your attention real quick. Well, that's all the time we have for the car show today, folks. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday, and you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.